Hi, friend. It's Kels. It's another episode of Redefined Fitness. This one is a doozy. This one is giving me cold sweats. My heart's beating fast. I've wanted and envisioned this episode since I started this podcast, and I've been putting it off. I'm just going to come right out and say it. But now's the time. Today is the day. I'm going to read a poem. I think I have shared a variation of this poem in a previous episode, but I finished it and I want to read it to you now because I feel like there is no better way to introduce what we're talking about. When do we arrive? When is the chapter of a woman's life when she is allowed to thrive? We go from growing up to growing old overnight. My beloved, can't you see? Subtle rhetoric telling you to shrink, poison of comparison permeating how you think. When you're fixated on so-called flaws, on staying small, on ways you're wrong, your thighs, your scars, and anti-aging creams, you won't dwell too long on soul-filled calls, on standing tall, on staying strong, your voice, your heart, and all your hopes and dreams. Thrive. You are alive. That is all the permission you need. We live in an age where aging is feared and unacceptable. We live in a society and culture where we are inundated with how we are meant to look, and with a subtle lie that however we naturally do look is wrong or not good enough. In this age of, you know, praising natural beauty, the methods and measures we all take are anything but natural. I am not coming at this topic from the top of some pedestal. I am not saying that doing any sort of beauty treatment is inherently wrong, or getting surgery, or getting your nails done, exorbitant skincare routines, like the whole gamut from top to bottom, from the most mild to the most extreme. We are going to talk about it all right here in this episode. And I feel like articulating the points that are important to make and the things that I want to communicate surrounding these topics is the biggest challenge that I've had thus far in my career. I understand it's a challenge I'm taking on myself, but it's one of those things that feels so important to try. So I'm going to ask for a little bit of grace as I try to move through this and explain and express to the best that I can these topics that are really sensitive and important. I have been asked more times than I can count what I've had done across my social media channels. I get it. Having, you know, public platforms, I'm asked that. And especially being in the fitness industry, my body is scrutinized, and that's the way that it is. In full transparency, for the first 7 years of my career, I was actually legally unable to answer your questions. I couldn't speak about my breast augmentation or things of that nature. And there were times that I tried and I couldn't. And so, you know, it was one of those things where it was just easy for me to ignore because I didn't have a choice. And about a year and a half ago, that shifted. And I am able to speak about these more sensitive things. And I'm doing so not because I feel like I owe anyone an explanation, and not because I judge anyone for their personal decisions, but simply because I do feel, being some sort of public figure, a responsibility to be more transparent. Because I think in this world that is full of all of these pressures and so much that isn't real, especially on social media, I just feel like it's the right thing for me to do personally to be forthcoming about the beauty routines and practices and procedures that I have tried or that I do or that I like or that I hate and all of that. And if this can put at ease someone's comparison just a little bit, or if this can help lift the weight of, I don't know, guilt or frustration from someone out there, then great. I put up a question box on my Instagram story, asking you guys, for questions, about this topic. In fact, I'll just read exactly what I posted. I think that might be easier. So I put up a question box. Sorry, I have to find it in my archives. It's going to take a hot sec. I said, hello, one of your most requested topics for a Redefined Fitness podcast is Botox, fillers, plastic surgery, beauty treatments, etc. This is probably because outside of lash extensions, I have never once talked about any of these things here. I am feeling like it is time to open up about all of the above. If you have ever wondered if I've had something done, now is your chance to ask. I won't be offended about your assumptions, and I will be answering your questions directly and honestly in an upcoming episode on the podcast. So I don't think I have ever received this many replies to a story, which confirmed my suspicion that I think this is important to discuss. Most of the responses were, there were a lot of responses asking if I've done certain things, and I will go through those things and I will tell you black and white, yes or no, and my experience with each one. Happy to do that, as I said I would. And then I want to talk about some of the key themes that I saw in your answers. The first being judgment towards me for, you know, asking, why do I feel like I need to defend myself? It's personal. Like, I don't need to talk about this. Or judgment for the fact that I haven't talked about it yet. Or judgment of others who do these things and claim that they believe or care about self-love. And then just a lot of very sincere women, almost just super sincerely asking, like, make it make sense. Like, I want genuine self-confidence and self-love, but I also want to get filler. Can those things exist at the same time? I don't have all the answers, but I have personal experiences and I have a unique lens on all of this, given my social platforms and my industry, and with my personal and professional experience combined, I want to share my insights, and I hope that these will help and bring some clarity or comfort. So first, let's just get into the straightaway, what y'all want to know, okay? So I had a list written out here. Sorry, I've lost it when I opened up my Instagram. Okay. Cool sculpting. Never tried it. I don't know that much about it. No interest in that. Liposuction? No. Never done any sort of liposuction. Nose job? No. I do not have rhinoplasty. There were actually a myriad of other facial surgeries that people think that I might have gotten done. I have not had any surgery on my face of any kind. No facial surgeries. We have a lot of questions about veneers. Yes, I do have veneers on my top 6 teeth. This is actually, I did not want to do this. Dental work is one of my greatest fears and discomforts in this life. When I was 8 years old, I was running around in PE and playing dodgeball, of course, and I turned around and this girl like ran smack into me and we just butted, like my face went into her forehead and my 2 front teeth got chipped and one of them so badly broke off like above where the nerve was. And if you have ever experienced like the raw nerve of your tooth exposed to air, it is, I think, the worst torturous type of pain. And I still have PTSD from that instant. So basically I had to go get it. They like they like glued it back on somehow. They were able to like fix it. And then my whole life long, my two front teeth kept chipping. So like every other year about, it felt like I would have to go in and get these re-repaired. And by the time I reached adulthood, they just were very yellowed. And like, you could kind of tell that they were cracked and they kept falling off. Like I couldn't bite into an apple or even like a piece of gum, it could pop off. So I was like, you know what? My dentist is like, I strongly suggest that we just get some veneers. And he was like, but we should get, you know, the front four because that it will look weird if you just have two in the middle. Mind you, I have been through two rounds of braces in my life, like full sets of braces for years of my life and Invisalign. And I had zero interest in getting any dental work done or orthodontic work done. Thanks to my dad and his investment in my smile, I had beautiful teeth. But long story short, I got the veneers. I have them across my front six teeth, and I definitely was under the laughing gas for that situation, and I did not enjoy it still. Still the anxiety cut through. So yes, I have veneers. Okay. Breast augmentation. Yes. My chest is fake. I have fake boobs. I mean, you guys, there were probably 1,000 DMs in response to just this in this question box. And so I want to take a minute to like take you guys through when I got my breasts done, why, what that experience was like, and kind of answer as quickly as I can because there are more important things to talk about surrounding these topics. But because you asked, and I do, I just want to be forthcoming. I want to talk about this. So I had my breast augmentation before I ever started my Instagram account. And I think that is an important point to note. There was never a time where I had this surgery and was hiding it from you guys and was pretending that I was working out and was secretly recovering. And again, I do not judge anyone, public figure or not, who chooses to keep these things private, because I have firsthand experience of the actual hatred and bullying and judgment that people can throw at you when you do talk about these things. And so it is a personal decision whether to be private or public about what you've had done or not. So again, no judgment here, but I would have shared if I could have. I didn't because I didn't have an Instagram page. And then when I did have a page, I was not able to share about this. So this is why it's never been addressed. Of course, many of you have asked me in real life if my boobs are real. And I have, of course, answered you honestly and said, no, they're not. So I've never lied about this, and I never would directly lie about this or anything. But this is, yeah, so this is the situation. So Anderson had just turned one, and I had weaned him from breastfeeding. We breastfed for a year. I actually had to stop breastfeeding him cold turkey overnight unexpectedly due to a hospital stay where they gave me medication that I couldn't breastfeed with. And that was super traumatic, a whole own story of its own. But long story short, I was weeks after stopping nursing. And that's very interesting to me looking back and knowing what I do now about postpartum hormones connected to weaning and how real it can be and how much your hormones shift, not just after you have a baby, but after you stop breastfeeding for a period of time. So I was probably not in a point where I should have been making life-altering decisions, but nevertheless, he had stopped nursing and it had been about 3 weeks. And I remember I have always been very small-chested. I was actually teased about that in middle school. I got my period when I was like 15, like I was kind of a late bloomer, and I was always self-conscious because all of my friends had, you know, a chest and I didn't, and boys teased me about it, and it was pretty rough. So I had insecurities surrounding my chest for a long time. When I started dating Ryan, actually, that's when things flipped, because he absolutely, I mean, maybe TMI, but like he absolutely loved me exactly the way I was and never once alluded or said anything that he would ever want anything different. And it was like, I think seeing myself through his eyes a little bit allowed me to gain a little bit of confidence. Again, I was young, guys. This was like 17, 18, 19. I was in the throes of, you know, a lot of toxic mindsets here. But So the story goes. So fast forward, I got pregnant and the girls grew, as lots of times they do, and I absolutely loved it. And then I had Anderson and they grew even more when I was nursing. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And it was kind of like what I'd always wanted. But then I realized I actually didn't like it. It was way too much for me. I didn't ever want a chest that big. And I was like, whatever, like, this is what we're doing. I'm breastfeeding my kid. It is what it is. So I always thought and hoped that after I was done nursing, they would go back to normal or like back to how they were, you know, just little tiny before. And actually what happened is they just disappeared. Like, I'm talking completely, completely. It was like little concave pockets of skin. I mean, there was no breast tissue left of my own. And that was, again, I had no one, I didn't talk to anyone about this kind of stuff. I had no awareness of what was normal or not. At this point, I was about a year into my personal fitness journey and redefining fitness for myself. And I had blossomed in myself, in my confidence, being able to begin to be proud of who I was. I also, you know, was just on the cusp of my faith crisis and my identity loss. I was like a month out of that. And so again, looking back, like not the time probably to make big life altering decisions, but I felt like my life had already been, well, it had been severely altered in so many ways that felt so beyond my control. And so one day I just remember thinking, you know what? I really want to do this. And I wanted to get a breast augmentation because I felt like there's literally nothing I could ever do to change this. And it was a sacrifice that my beautiful son, you know, that I gave to my beautiful son and feeding him and keeping him alive. And I was like, fuck it. I want a boob job. And it was like so rebellious for me to allow that thought in my head. Coming out of the very, very strict religion that I had subscribed to until like a month prior to this, I had never really formed thoughts on my own in adulthood. And if you're confused by what I'm talking about with the religious stuff, please go back and listen to the episode, The Day That I Died. It's not sarcastic. It's not meaning to be dramatic. It truly is a massive, massive life quake in my life. And for context, I would ask you to go listen to that. But anyway, here I was in this like darkest place I'd ever been in and thinking for myself for the very first time and making that decision and saying, you know what? God's not going to love me less. I'm not going to be a less worthy human. I don't have to hate myself for even having the thought that I might want to change this about my body. Like, that was very rebellious feeling for me. And it was actually extremely empowering for me. And I thought about it for a couple of days and then I finally got up the courage to tell Ryan, and I thought he would be like disappointed or like caution me against it or, you know, not want me to do it. And he was so sweet and he just, you know, he asked me if I was sure. And I think he probably had the foresight to understand and he probably had a better like view on all that I was currently going through at that time. But he just said, whatever you want, I will support 100%. You know that I don't want or need you to do this and that, you know that you're beautiful and all those things without this. But if you want this, absolutely you can do it. Like whatever you want, just let me know and I'll support you. And that meant so much to me as well. I'd been shamed so much in so many ways for my body or thinking about my body certain ways or feeling certain feelings in my body. Or I had worked for the first 26 years of my life to separate my identity completely from my physical self because I felt like it was a sin. And wanting to dress in a outfit that showed my shoulders was a sin. I mean, like this went so deep for me. And so anyway, making this choice, which seemed out of nowhere to everyone else and was out of nowhere, felt very right and very empowering. And so I actually called some surgeons in my area that I had been referred to highly, and I was like, hey, I want to get a breast augmentation. When can I do it? And they were all like, 9 months out, 6 months out. You know, one was like 4 months out. And I was like, no, I want it now. Like, I just wanted it then. And they thought I was nuts. But the next day, one of them called and was like, hey, we actually have a cancellation tomorrow, but you don't have a consult. And are you even sure? And I was like, yes, I'll come down right now today. So I drove there. We did my consultation. I also think it's important to note that the surgeon, he was very kind and professional, but him and the nurse both were trying to persuade me pretty heavily to go bigger. They were like measuring me and telling me like, for your frame, your body should support this size of a implant. And I was like, no, I absolutely do not want that. I actually ended up pulling up a picture of myself like pre baby and pregnancy, that kind of showed like my cleavage and how small I was. And I was like, I just want this back. I don't want, you know, anything else. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll go smaller. So we did a very small, implant. I know it goes by cc's. I can't for the life of me remember. I think 300 cc's or 250. But if that's a lot, then I'm definitely wrong. It was like smaller than the average by a lot. So I did like a teardrop shape because I wanted it to sit more natural. And we actually did not do a lift of any kind because again, I didn't want them to be like super, super, unnatural looking. I kind of was, my goal is to restore, you know, what I had before, maybe with like a little bit bigger. So long story short, 48 hours after making this decision, I was under the knife. And that was back in 2015. So in fact, it was June of 2015. I began my Instagram page in end of September that same year. And so I've written down like some of the questions that everyone's asked surrounding breast augment. So have you ever regretted it? No. This was before, you know, I had ever heard of anything like BII, which is breast implant illness, which I know some is affecting women, which is very scary. I had, you know, no awareness of any of that. That kind of hadn't come around yet. And honestly, you guys, I have not regretted my decision, not once. Not one day, not even for 1 minute. It's something that I absolutely am glad that I did. But I also think the further that I get into my journey and the more honest I am with myself, I've wondered like if I had waited and I wasn't in such a pivotal and raw time in my life, and if I was me now, like this far into what I've learned about self-worth and confidence and living from self-love, would I have made that decision? I don't know. You know, I can't say that I would have. I can't say that I wouldn't have, but I've never regretted it. I've always been glad that I did it and have only had a very positive experience with it. But it's not, I can't honestly say if I would make the same decision today. I haven't gotten any other procedures or surgeries anywhere on my body. Again, it hasn't been part of my story. You know, I haven't ever wanted to, or if there's times that I've wanted to or thought about it, like I just haven't. So again, I'm not sure if I would have made that same decision if I knew what I knew now then. But then I was who I was then, and that's the decision I made, and I wholeheartedly have embraced it. And it's been a very positive thing for me. So as far as working out, I was very scared because again, like exercise had become my main tool to keep myself sane. And I had 6 weeks of downtime, I believe. This was before I knew anything about meditation. And I was actually super panicked that I couldn't exercise the same way. But within like 2 weeks, I was cleared to take walks. And we walked outside every day and it was beautiful. And I think that that really replaced my lifting for my mental health. This is also the reason why y'all don't see me, you know, bench pressing super heavy. I don't have any goals to mess with what I paid for. Like, I'm not trying to lift heavy on chest day. So yes, I love to do push-ups, body weighted stuff. I'll do chest presses, all of those, you know, lifts, but I keep my weights lighter and I'm not trying to progress there. I know that they say that you can, and I know lots of women have implants and they lift super heavy and that's awesome. But I have no interest in that. Also, lots of questions with, can you, you know, get your own breast lift through exercise, through building muscle there. Of course, you can build muscle, like you can build up your pecs, your chest muscles, but no, like the truth is no, you can't have a chest like mine and be as lean as I am without having implants. Like that's just not real. And that point alone is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this once I became a personal trainer and was public facing, because I always did feel a little bit like it was inauthentic. I never said that I hadn't gotten surgery, but just not being able to fully say, hey, like my chest is this way because it's fake. That's something that I always wish I could have said. So here I am saying it. What other questions? I think that kind of covers, you guys wanted to know why I did it, when I did it. Oh, what kind? Like I said, I don't know the CCs. I think it was like 300. Teardrop shape. Mine are submuscular. Yeah, that's all top level, all of your questions answered there. Okay, so getting into things like skincare, tons of skincare questions. And this one probably deserves an episode of its own, honestly. I think I have been super blessed, like as a teenager, all through adolescence, high school, even college, I had great skin, beautiful, clear skin. I would complain if I got a zit, which is like insane to me now, but really good skin. I didn't really do much to take care of it. I use clean and clear face wash, like maybe most nights. I hardly ever wash my makeup off. Yeah, it's crazy to think about, but great skin. And then when I turned 30, which I'm 33 now, and it was actually when I got my second IUD back in after we had tried for a second baby unsuccessfully, and I decided I just needed to let all of that, you know, Ryan and I had decided our family's complete, and I just didn't want the ups and downs. And so I had such a positive experience with my first IUD after having Anderson, and I hated the pill, and I was like, my body knows this form of birth control. I loved it. It helped a lot with my cramps and getting ovarian cysts. So I got an IUD back in, and I turned 30 in like the same month. Well, my skin hated it. It was so bad, and I experienced having acne for the first time in my life. Before you guys judge me and say like, no, you didn't, you've not seen it because I hid it. And that's not something that I'm proud of either. A couple times I would show you guys, you know, that I had a zit, or I'd do stories, you know, showing that I was having a bad skin moment, but those were not in the bad times. I'm going to be honest about that. During the worst times with my skin, it was super defeating and it was very humbling. I took for granted my skin my whole life, and I had no clue how hard that could be. This was also like, you know, my career was taking off and I was always on camera. I was always wearing so much makeup, and I became completely insecure. I would not get on my stories unless I had a full face of makeup. I would not film or even go to the gym in my hometown unless I was wearing a full face of makeup, which obviously was not helping my situation with my skin. But I was self-conscious and insecure about that, even while I understood that I shouldn't need to be, right? It's always that dichotomy of the pressures that we feel and the beauty standards that we are inundated with and literally surrounded with, and that struggle with the inner knowing that those things are surface level and they don't matter. It's not fair to say they don't matter, because they do matter. If they matter to you, whether it's because of a toxic lie that you have adapted and a self-limiting belief that is rooted deeply in you, that's still real. And that requires effort, which has to begin with awareness and work. And so be gentle on yourself is what I'm saying. But at this point, I was struggling with my skin. And I remember, you know, I'd heard of Accutane and other medications to help clear up skin. And I really try not to take medication unless I really, really need to, for personal reasons. But I remember just crying, like it was so painful and bad. And I just was like, I need to do something. I'll do anything. And I called my friend who is like an injector and an esthetician. And I was like, do you know anyone in the industry like who actually can help clear up skin? Like I had spent thousands of dollars on the fanciest skinceuticals lines. Like I had spent thousands of dollars on skincare and microneedling and facials, and nothing. In fact, the esthetician that I went to here in Utah, who was amazing, by the way, very sweet woman. She is who my mom goes to. And so my mom referred her. I started going to her. I went religiously, bought all of her stuff, paid for all the fancy things, whatever she said. And after like a year with just things getting worse, I stopped going. And she literally told my mom, she's like, your daughter is the only person I've never been able to help. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But anyway, I got a referral from my friend and she said, go to this lady, try her, just try her first. So I was like, okay. So I show up at her office and I was like, Kelly, shout out to Kelly, by the way. I was like, I'm in pain. This is tough. Like, look at my skin. I need you to level with me 1000% right now. Can you help me? Like through your products or whatever. Like, do you think you can clear up my skin in your professional opinion? Just please be honest. Yes or no. She looked at me and she was like, I am 90% sure that I can help you, but you have to be 100% willing to be completely religiously meticulous about doing what I say and trusting me. And I was like, okay, done. So I think I manifested too, because I put her name in my phone when I got her contact as Kelly Skin Healer with a little sparkle emoji. But basically, the first thing she did was give me a list of the comedogenic ingredients in common skincare and makeup products. And it turns out that I was giving myself acne by a lot of the stuff I was putting on my face, which I thought was supposed to help it. Lots of the like organic and natural things I was using had a lot of very comedogenic ingredients in them. And so I pretty much threw away all my makeup and all my fancy things I had bought. And I bought from her this tinted SPF moisturizer and some bronzer, and that's all I used. And I just trusted her completely. It was like, unless I was on camera filming and needed to have like real makeup on, my day-to-day became these off-brand products that I got from her, and my skincare routine became products from her line that she formulated, which her mom invented before her, which has like this little cult following here in Utah. And basically, it was very simple. It was like, take off my makeup, wash my face, moisturize, and there was one other product. It's like a three-step thing. And I trusted her. And about 6 months later, my skin started to heal. And all of this to say, there's so many questions on skincare, because I think all of you believe that I have just perfect skin. And honestly, I do have such beautiful skin now. It always hasn't been that way. And I wanted to be very forthcoming about my entire journey with that. I've been mostly very lucky, but I've also definitely had a couple years there where it was pretty bad. And I have to say, and this is not to sound cheesy, this is not to be, I want you to believe me on this. So I told you the full practical steps that I did in the story. But when I found Kelly and I started this new, you know, I got rid of all my comedogenic stuff and really dedicated to healing my skin, I also made it an intention to challenge myself to love the skin that I was in, because I was sick of hiding it. I was sick of the way that my insecurity was fueling my own negative self-talk. And I knew that I deserved better. I knew that it didn't fucking matter if I had zits on my face. Ryan looked at me the same way. How come I couldn't look at myself that same way? Well, it's because of society. It's because of beauty standards. But still, I realized that was wrong. And so at the same time that I started diligently taking care of my skin and got non-comedogenic products and did actual tangible steps to help my skin heal, because I did want it to heal, I also decided that not ever again was I going to breathe hate or self-criticism into my skin or my face. And at that same time, I made my nightly skincare routine a mindfulness practice. I would set my phone down. I would take deep breaths. I would wash my face and literally tell myself in the mirror, your skin is a living, breathing organism. It is beautiful. It can heal. It keeps you alive. Like, just remembering the miracle that my body, and more particularly my skin, was, whether or not it had acne on it, was very powerful. And it took 6 months for me to see a difference in my skin and having like my acne clear up. But way sooner than that, I started to feel better. I started to wear, as I said, a lot less makeup regularly. Days at home, I didn't wear any makeup. And oh my God, it was okay. I could go to the grocery store, go to the gym without makeup, even with zits, and it was okay. And I didn't hang my head or hide it in shame. And so it was the combination of my mindset and putting in that work to understand, yes, I am insecure about this and it's hard for me and it sucks. And yes, I want to heal it and I'm taking steps to clear up my skin, but also my face is worthy to be shown whether or not it's covered in acne. And why can't I show up online and practice that belief? And so I did. I started to do that. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that for the products. I'm grateful for Kelly. I'm grateful that my skin cleared up. I am mostly grateful that I finally have been able to let go a little bit of the insecurity that that was for me. Of course, I don't enjoy having acne, but I also now am not going to not go to an event or not film a workout for you or not get on my stories if I'm having a bad skin day, because that's normal. Flawless skin is not human. It's actually not normal. It's very rare. And even though that's what I have now is pretty damn flawless skin, I am so grateful that I went through that journey and went through those periods because it humbled me right out. And it also made me realize how important that and how much I had absorbed that standard of beauty and felt like I was failing the second that I no longer had that. So that's, you know, all things about skincare. Asked if I've done peels, microneedling. I don't think we did any peels. I did do a few rounds of microneedling. Like I said, I did pretty much whatever that lady said. Moving into, oh, and I like facials. I also realized it's kind of like a massage for your face. I didn't know about that. I haven't done any of the super painful ones. I hate pain, so I don't want to subject myself to that if I don't have to, but I think facials can be really fun way to a form of self-care and to pamper yourself. Hair dye. So I started my dyeing my hair about 23 years old, and then I kind of became obsessed and I felt like I needed to always get my hair done. I had to have my roots done or highlights or lowlights or change up with the seasons, and it became very expensive and very time consuming, and I went through a rough go with my hair, which is a whole other story. But all this to say, I actually stopped dyeing my hair. It's been about 18 months now since I have put any color in my hair, and I decided to just let my natural color grow out. And maybe if I start going gray soon, I'll start coloring it again. I don't know. We'll see how I feel. But for now, it feels so good. It feels so good to not have to worry about it. Just to embrace, you know, what God gave me. And it gets little highlights in the sun, which is fun. And I don't care, you know, like I've just embraced, that was one thing, like self-care, beauty practice that I let go of because I realized that was coming from a place of insecurity as well. And that was coming from like, oh, I need to do this. Or like, it would stress me out if I had regrowth or if my hair wasn't fresh or wasn't changing it up or looking professional. And I realized like, I don't have time for that. I needed to let that go. So I let that go. Feels great. Highly recommend. But also if you love getting your hair done, get your hair done. Again, I'm not judging here. Hair extensions. This is a big one. I did have hair extensions once for I think about 8 months. It drove me nuts because of how long it took to wash my hair and swimming in the summer and stuff. It was just really not fun. And then when I took them out, I do feel like it thinned out my hair. Even though they were put in very well, they're great quality. It just wasn't worth it for me. I did love having the mermaid hair, I can't lie, but I don't know. I just ultimately felt like it wasn't worth the time or money there either. And I didn't want to feel like my natural hair wasn't good enough, I guess. And I was kind of starting to slip into that. I do have hair extension like that I wear in my ponytail sometimes, I will say, to film, although I haven't for most of my recent shoots, but those are fun sometimes. So there's a lot of other questions about tanning and nails and those things, but I think that's most of the direct answers to like what you guys assume I've done or had done or do. And oh my gosh, no, it's not. Wow, I almost forgot. Botox and injections. This is like the second biggest thing. So I, as far as fillers go, I have tried lip filler. I got half a syringe. I'll have to ask my injector. I should have texted her. I got half a syringe probably about a year ago, which if you know anything about fillers, it's really not that much. I actually had like an uneven top lip, not to my bottom lip, but like one side was like plumper than the other. And so originally I decided to try it because I wanted to even that out. And then I was like, oh, let's use the other, you know, part of the syringe. This was like 6 months after to like evenly get a little lip plump. And I just wanted to try it, honestly. And it hurt. It really sucked, but it was very quick. And I think it was kind of cool. It's been a year now. I don't know if I'll do it again. I don't know if I'll keep doing it. I definitely want to be careful because I don't want it to ever feel like something that I need to do. And again, we're going to talk about the motive for all of these things in a second, but that I have not tried filler on any other part of my face. It's only been in my lips. And it's been quite a while now. I'm not sure how long it's supposed to last, but, no other fillers. I don't know if I will in the future. I'm not 100% opposed to it. But I haven't done any of it yet. And Botox. Yes, I get Botox and I have gotten Botox since I was, it was a friend who actually turned me onto it back in 2016. And I had super deep forehead wrinkles and she was like, did you know you could get Botox and literally just like get rid of those? And I was like, I'm scared of Botox for X, Y, and Z. And I didn't really have any understanding of it. And I actually did a little bit of research and everything that I'd read was like, it actually has been studied. Again, do your own research. Please don't take my word for anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to convince you in anything. I'm just saying from what I had looked into, it seemed like a cool way for wrinkle prevention for deep lines and wrinkles. And so I started getting Botox when I was quite young, like 24. Or no, sorry, I had Anderson at 24. So probably around 26 or 27, just in my forehead. And I loved it. It did, I feel like, reverse age me a little bit because I had those deep lines really, really early and young. And then now I get it. I go in, I think I've probably gone in twice a year. I'm lucky because I have a really, really close friend who is an injector. She's a nurse practitioner. She was actually head of the neonatal intensive care unit at Primary Children's Hospital here in Utah and had such a heavy career. I mean, I can't even imagine what her day-to-day looked like. And she finally got married and had kids of her own. And she's like, I need a job that is not as heavy and stressful. And so she decided to be an injector. And she's incredible. I've watched her break off and start her own business and take leaps and believe in herself. And she comes at it from such a practical and beautiful standpoint. And I have so much respect for her. And I've learned so much through her and her viewpoints and her experiences as well. So anyway, she's like literally the only person that I would probably trust to touch my face. And she knows that I want to take care of my skin and age gracefully, but I do want to age and I am very right now averse to fillers and she never tries to pressure me or anything like that. But basically as far as my Botox, I just leave it in her hands. So I like to still be able to like have, you know, the lines around my like smile lines. Like I love those and like all the movement in my face. I don't want to lose all of that. But I do get Botox and I let her choose where to put it and I've loved it. I've had a positive experience with that. So whew, okay, so we got through that very long list. I hope you guys are still with me. I hope you're not bored yet. Because now is the shit that matters, okay? Here's the thing. Like I said, while I feel like I am personally sharing this and being super forthcoming and open because I feel like it's the right thing to do. As someone who is any kind of, you know, I don't know if I want to call myself a role model, but it's like, I don't ever want anyone looking at me, and I don't want to come across inauthentic or like I'm lying or like I'm, I don't know. It just feels, I don't know how to say it fully the right way, but it feels like the right thing for me to do, to be transparent. And I do think that in our culture, the fact is, statistics show things like surgeries and like cosmetic surgeries and fillers and Botox, these things are only on the rise. And in this climate where these things are becoming more and more popular, I don't think it's healthy for them to be shamed and silenced and held hush hush. And while I don't judge anyone for keeping these things private, because like I said, being public about this invites a whole host of judgment and criticism from some, and that's difficult to navigate, I do feel like it is best to be transparent, because especially in my position, because I want to, not because I'm trying to influence or make women feel like they need this or they should do this, in no way, no way am I saying that, but because I want to be honest. I just am trying to be honest. Confidence. So many women are wondering and have asked, would you still be confident if you didn't do all these things? Or how can you say you believe in being your authentic self if you do any of these things? And here's the thing. Absolutely, we get Botox to prevent wrinkles because of how we are culturally conditioned. Absolutely, we do. Same goes for getting your nails done. Same goes for putting makeup on. Same goes for the way you wear your hair, the clothes that you wear, whether you want to be tan or not, depending on what country you live in. Like, beauty standards are always changing, ever fluctuating. Throughout the last decades of time, depending on where you are raised and what culture you live in, you are going to have these beauty standards shoved in your face and down your throat from every angle. And of course, the things that we do and the way that we want to present ourselves physically to the world is going to be impacted and influenced by these beauty standards. That's just the world that we live in. In the same vein that I believe on its base level, diet culture and the obsession with our physical aesthetics and the shape and sizes of our bodies is the single greatest tool to keep women silent and small, I also feel like the beauty standards of society can be exceptionally toxic and harmful. But it does not make sense for you to live in this world and then shame yourself for feeling like you want to change something about your appearance. I think it is exceptionally important to start with awareness. That's why I'm having this conversation. These things are so prevalent and they're not going anywhere. And being aware of the fact that you are insecure about your nose or your lips or your hair or whatever else, your eyelashes, being honest and aware that your insecurities are embedded there because of society, and therefore they are invalid intrinsically, because your actual natural beauty and appearance is always worthy. That has to be step one. It has to be. But also, because again, I believe life is and we are and, not or. Also, you have to be aware of what things you personally want to do and where that motive is coming from. Because there are certain things, here's an example. For me, it comes down to motive. I love getting dressed up and feeling my best and putting on makeup and wearing a dress. I've always loved that since I was 3 years old. You know, I love getting my nails done. I feel like it is such a form of self-care. It's relaxing. I feel put together. I absolutely love it. I don't do those things like makeup and hair done and nails out of a lack, out of feeling like I am ugly without them. But there are things that I have done because of that. For example, my lash extensions. I was very, very highly insecure about my eyelashes of all things since I was 14 years old due to a very specific conversation that I had, which this person 100% never ever remembers, but stayed with me ever since. And I mean, I would not show up to school in middle school or high school without massive amounts of mascara. I was just absolutely mortified, like, with how short and straight and thin my eyelashes were. And the second eyelash extensions became a thing, I mean, I scrimped and saved far before I should ever be spending money like that to get them because it was so important to me and I just felt like it would fix my biggest insecurity. And I had lash extensions for 8 years straight. 8 years straight. And I finally arrived at a point in my journey where I was like, you know what? That thing, unlike getting my nails done, that's not healthy for me because that is rooted in self-shame. That is rooted in absolutely feeling like I'm not enough without it. And so I had to make the decision to challenge myself to take them off, get used to seeing my face without them, and redefining that standard of beauty for my personal self. Will I put on false lashes if I want to? 100%. Was it difficult at first when I took those off? 1,000%. It was so weird, but I have learned to love my face without them, and I'm super proud of that, and I needed to do that because that was an unhealthy motive for me. That was stemming from a lack, a place of self-consciousness and a fear and a panic, whereas other things like the way that the skin, my skin tans and gets kissed by the sun, those, I love those things. Now, talking about tanning, right? For a long time, I would not film a workout or God forbid, I would never do a shoot or an event without a spray tan. Like I would land in a city, find a spray tan person. Like I always felt like I had to have a fake tan to make me look more shredded or more lean. I just felt like I didn't look as good if my skin wasn't tan because naturally I have very olive skin. Thank you, mother. And my skin tans beautifully in the normal sun, even though I wear SPF 50, please always wear a lot of SPF. It's like, I always felt like I had to be super dark and super tan. And I also came to a point where I realized, you know what? That's not healthy. That was coming from a place of panic and not enoughness and lack. And so I stopped. I haven't done any type of self-tanner in years. I don't go tanning anymore. I don't do spray tans. It's like, if I'm on vacation or if it's summertime and I'm outside, I'm going to be really tan. In the winter, I'm more pale. And you know what? Both are beautiful and that's great. And that's something that I had to let go of because of the motive for that. So what I'm trying to say is like, as far as confidence is concerned, I've said this so many times when it comes to like a body composition shift. Those things will not give you confidence. Those things will not make you brim with self-love. That's simply not the way that it works. I know this. I promise you, it is not the way that it works. Same thing with having these, you know, more mild things like tanning and teeth whitening and getting your nails done, all the way down to plastic surgery. Those things will not give you or buy you confidence. Sure, you might feel better a little bit, but if you are doing those things out of a space of that lack or that fear or that belief that you are not enough without them, it will not fix it because that is not where that comes from. Now, on the other hand, if you are already doing the things to build trust with yourself, which is how we build confidence. If you are already dialed into doing the work to remember how to live from self-love and the fact that while you live in this society, you're subjected to all of these things, you get to identify piece by piece the rhetorics that you have internalized and decide which ones you're going to let go of and which ones don't serve you. You get to decide that. And when you're choosing things intentionally for you, no matter your reasons, you go on ahead and fucking do that. Good for you. Every woman, every human can and should do exactly what they want with their own bodies. And every individual deserves to express themselves outwardly, whether it's with the clothes that they choose to wear, how they choose to do their makeup or not, how they wear their hair, to what surgeries they get. Everyone deserves to make those choices for themselves and not be scorned or judged for that. Period. For one person, doing something might be out of lack and that would be unhealthy. For another, someone might be coming at it with self-celebration, self-care, and that could be a great thing. No one walks in your shoes and you don't walk in theirs. And so before you point the finger to judge someone else for the decision that they're making, remember that you have absolutely zero proof that you would not do the exact same thing that they're doing if you had lived their exact same life. One of the biggest points I want you guys to take from this is to please let go of the weight that it is costing you to cast judgment on other humans. Because it can hurt them, 100%. Bullying and judging and criticizing does hurt other people, but it hurts you more. And it will not cure your lack. The same way that you cannot buy confidence by buying a boob job. It's not how it works. That's why I know women who have tried every procedure and undergone a lot of surgery and all of the latest, greatest facial creams and everything else, and they are constantly fueling that state and that panic of not enoughness, because it will never be enough, because their motive is wrong. I know women who have had a lot of procedures and love to do all the things and all the shit I just said, who are super confident and have that light in their eyes and love their lives and love themselves. The difference comes from within. It really does. And while I wish so deeply that women weren't born into this landscape of all of this pressure, that's our reality. And yes, it will change only if and when we as individuals do the work within ourselves. And I don't think that change is going to look like no one ever gets another plastic surgery. But I do hope that it can look like remembering first and foremost that whatever you do or do not do does not and cannot and never will detract from your worth as a human being or your purpose on this earth. And if you choose to do something and you regret it or you feel empty, give yourself grace and go back to understanding that lack that thing came from. And if you are concerned with a friend or someone you know who wants to get a surgery or wants to do Botox or something that you don't approve or you don't agree with, please don't judge them. I think what we need to do is just navigate by first bringing awareness to, yes, what all of this is stemming from and how toxic that can be, which is even so much more prevalent for people of color, which I don't have the right to speak on, but I know that my lens is privileged. We need to bring awareness to that, to what's happening with society at large, just as we do with diet culture and all the other things I speak about. And then we also, and most importantly, perhaps need to bring awareness to our own individual selves with each decision. What is your motive? What is your motive? Because ultimately, and the whole main point of this is, again, your worth cannot and does not fluctuate based on anything, especially how you physically present to the world. And beauty, real beauty, defies any beauty standard that is fluctuating, because someone who is truly beautiful and confident, it is actually not about how they look. It is because they are emboldened from within. And you know what I'm talking about. Thrive. In the face of being inundated with diet culture and beauty standards, thrive. Even if and you choose to get anti-aging wrinkle injections or breast augmentation or teeth whitening or whatever else you want to do, thrive. And remember why you are alive and what makes you beautiful. If you keep your focus first on who you are, on living presently and authentically, then you reserve the right to present yourself physically however you want in this life. But I ask two things of you. Look at your motive. Remember that you lack nothing. And second, meet other women's choices with kindness and compassion instead of condemning and criticizing. And I think that's the best we can do. Again, everything that I have shared is deeply personal. This is my personal perspective. I'm not trying to be a therapist or a doctor or persuade you to do or think or feel anything except for those last two points, that you are worth it, you are worthy, and that your beauty transcends any and all of the ever-fluctuating beauty standards of society. Love you.